So you want to be a podcaster? My name's Lawrence Gunther. I've been producing podcasts now for 9 years, over 400 episodes, folks. My first podcast, I started in 2013. It's called The Bluefish Radio Show, back when radio was still the thing, but we called it that, and it's still in the name. It's all about the future of fish and fishing. It's an interview-based podcast. That's the easiest one type of podcast to produce, but often, unless you're really interested in the content, it can be pretty boring. Our other podcast that we started in August of 2020 is more of a production. It's called Outdoors with Lawrence Gunther. We have 45 episodes done now, and it's more informative but entertaining. Well, we think it is anyways, and based on the feedback we've been getting, we think you do as well. So what does it take to make a good podcast? Let's get into that. You know, I should mention too that I'm a person who is blind. I love storytelling. I love being a knowledge keeper. And I love the audio format. I do a lot of video content as well, and I'm comfortable in both, but definitely audio is something that takes the pressure off me because I don't have to think about camera placement and all the editing of that. I do my own editing, I do my own recording, I do my own production. I have people that work with me to help spiff things up on some of these projects as well. But you know, as a blind person, you can make your own podcast. So let's get into it. So what is your podcast going to be? Is it a passion project? It's got to come from somewhere. Is this just about discovery and learning and getting the opportunity to talk to people that are much smarter than yourselves by luring them onto your podcast and saying, hey, I can help make you famous. I can get your message out there if you just agree to come onto my podcast and tell me all these things I don't know. If you're just thirsty for knowledge and you're just looking for people to give you tutoring, it's not really a podcast. It's just you getting your needs met in terms of your intellectual stimulation and your mental development. And there's nothing wrong with that if you think there's a lot of other people that'll benefit from that experience, from your own personal journey in this development process. The thing is, though, you're not bringing a lot to the plate other than your guests. So what happens when you run out of guests? You can have podcasts that are about opinions. You can have podcasts that are about reporting news. You can have podcasts that are about, you know, fun stuff to do and getting co-hosts on there and other people and sharing their experiences. But in the end, you need to bring something to the podcast yourself, whether it's your own sparkling personality, your own ability to reflect and think back and make sense of it all. You need to step up on a whole bunch of fronts because in the end, people will become loyal listeners based on who you are, not your guests, not the quality of the information you're presenting. All that counts for sure. People want to mine your podcast for good bits of information that they can use in their own life. But in between those information drops, there's so many sources of good information out there. So why you? You need to know that they're coming back as well to hear you. Staying true to your mission. When you start this, when you have your idea and you think it's valuable, you don't want to veer off just because you see something happening in another area and you think, oh boy, I could get more listeners if I do that and less of this and more of that. And every time you do a podcast and you look at your numbers and how many downloads you got and some of the comments you got, and you think, oh, if I did more of that, I'll get even more downloads. And little by little, increment by increment, you're going to just veer off course. And 3 or 4 months down the road, you know, after you've done 20, 25 podcasts, you're going to say to yourself, wow, I'm somewhere where I never thought I would be. And I'm really not enjoying this anymore. This has nothing to do with my passion project. Now I'm just servicing my listeners and I'm not having fun anymore. So stay true to yourself. Costs and commercials are two other things you need to take into consideration. Are you going to produce this yourself? Are you going to have to bring in other resources to do the editing, to do the production, to rent studio space? Are you going to have sponsors to cover all that? You know, most people think that they're going to start a podcast and they're going to make some serious coin on this and they're going to get some great sponsors. But there's so many podcasts out there. And it's not until you've seriously established some huge numbers, which very few podcasters ever do, that you'll attract actual sponsors and actual license your content. So keeping costs in mind in terms of who's going to pay for this, or just doing it yourself because it's your passion project, means you're going to be independent and you're not going to be beholden to someone who's holding the purse strings. It's not a bad way to be. It's your show. You own it. You'll make the decisions and, live or die by them. At some point, you might become an influencer. Who knows, right? I mean, it's all about influencing these days. But is that really something you want to get from your podcast? Is that your whole purpose? YouTuber, Instagrammer, Facebooker, whatever, If becoming an influencer is your main motivation, you're going to have to be super active on all the social media channels. And that's not a bad thing in terms of connecting with your listeners. But if your sole intent is just to become popular, well, there might be other ways to accomplish this other than a podcast. I mean, Joe Rogan, 11 million listeners every episode. He's by far the most popular podcaster in the world. The next most popular podcast is The Daily, produced by the New York Times. And they get nowhere near 11 million listeners to their podcast. Nowhere near. And they have a huge production team behind them. So does Joe Rogan. He's not as big as the New York Times, but two different, formats. Joe is just straight on interviewing. New York Times is really into telling the news. And that means a lot of reporting, a lot of journalism. And then there's all the rest of us podcasters who are just, thinking, wow, am I doing well here? I like to think about it, though, that if you've got 30 people listening to you in a room, if you're giving a seminar or a lecture in a classroom, and you've got 30 people listening who all asked to be there, and they're closely listening to what you have to say, that's pretty cool, right? So if you can get 30 people to sign up to your podcast, and they're coming back every time, and then it goes to 40, and it goes to 50, and maybe you get 100. Can you imagine 100 people that show up once a week in a room who want to come and hear what you have to say, what your guests have to say? That's pretty cool, too. So don't get caught up in this number chasing, I want to get 10,000, I want to get 100,000 listeners. That's not for everybody by a long shot. Be happy and be content and value those listeners, every one of them. So what kind of podcast do you want to make? Is it going to be unstructured? Is it going to be a program? Like I said, if you're just doing a straight on interview, you announce the guest and you introduce the guest and the guest talks and you just ask a few questions along the way, you can get 26 or 55 minutes of content pretty quick, and it's painless, relatively painless. Getting a guest to sparkle in a podcast and getting it to be fun and exciting with some great twists and turns along the way, that doesn't happen organically very often with guests. So you really need to bring a bit of that to your guest interviews yourself. And you really need to make sure you're getting good quality guests that have good information that people want to hear. Otherwise, you'll probably want to do a more structured podcast where you have segments, where you have this segment and a co-host that helps you with that, and then another segment. And then people learn to love your segment. So even if they don't particularly like what you're doing in one segment, they know there's the next segment coming that they always enjoy, and you save that to the end. Not always your best stuff at the end, but some of your good little always popular segments. You put that at the end to make sure people listen all the way through. It's a lot more work, and it's actually scripting now. Now you're actually writing scripts. It's not just, sitting down with your buddy and having a chit-chat, drinking a beer. People don't listen to that very long or often, unless it's just your relatives. And trust me, they don't even listen to your podcast because they might not be interested in the information, and they get to hear your voice all the time anyway. So why would they listen to your podcast? If you're going to structure a podcast, you need to get into scripting. So that means what takes an hour or a 30-minute podcast to make, it can take half a day to get that script written, to get the preparations done, and then the editing afterwards, right? So the recording itself is the shortest piece because really you're recording 26 minutes of content or an hour of content, but the preparation work beforehand and the editing afterwards can take much longer. But if you love what you're doing and people really enjoy it, well, it's not work, right? It's fun. So if you're hosting a podcast, there's certain things you want to bring to the project. You want to be respectful. You want to be consistent. You want to watch your language, because there's artificial intelligence out there that if they catch you swearing, they're going to put a mark on your podcast. And that means, you know, people who have filters, like younger people who have technology that their parents have put filters on, they're not going to access your podcast. So you got to watch the language if you want to access all ages listeners. If you don't care, if you think, you know, using colorful language is part of what people want to hear, then that's a smaller segment of the population that you're going to go after. Go for it, I guess. This is about you developing friendships. You know, as a podcaster now, like I said, with 400 episodes, for sure, I've made a lot of friends of the people that I've interviewed, and I've gone back to them over and over again, many of them. And I've also been able to just send them an email and ask them questions or get on the phone with them and talk to them about other things going on. And they contact me and let me know what's going on. So yeah, you will develop relationships by being a podcaster, because you will get to meet these people and you will be helping them to tell their story and giving them that avenue to tell their story and becoming involved in their passion projects and their causes and their concerns and getting that information out there. So you develop this web of contacts and information channels out there that you have to be respectful to and you have to honor. It's just not a one and done kind of thing. You know, you use these people for their content and you say thank you so much and you never hear from them again. There's going to be people like that for sure, but it shouldn't be like that. It should be open. You want to leave things open so that you can reconnect with people, so you can build your network and not just move on like burning bridges behind you. You want to build your network. You want to make sure that people that you have on your show that are involved with your podcast have a good feeling afterwards and are going to be more than happy to do it all over again. But making friendships during the podcast, during the interview, during the conversation, it's not the time to build relationships during the podcast. What you need to do is go for gold. You need to be able to say to your guest, look, I'm not going to be gentle here. I'm not going to come in real slow. We're not having a long, leisurely conversation with hours to kill while you're on the road driving somewhere. You need to get to that gold, that content that you know they have to offer. You need to get there quick, because people will click off. If it's just a rambling, boring conversation without any changes of direction, without any new elements being brought in, they're going to get bored. They're going to say, wow, I don't want to listen to this for the next 15 minutes. This guy's just rattling on. So you got to get to the gold. You got to get to that juicy bit of information in a respectful way, but you got to drive for it. And that might mean, you know, steering the conversation a little bit, you know, cutting people off a little bit, but you can edit that stuff out. You can edit those bumpy bits out and get it to flow a little better. So there's not all these, what? Where are you going with this? You know, you can cut a bunch of that stuff out. I mean, a good podcast, it involves very little editing, but there's always editing. You want to structure all your podcasts to a degree. That means doing a little bit of research, a little preparation work, and sharing that with your guests before you start the conversation. You're going to say to them in an email, come on my show, and they're going to agree to it. And they're going to say, what are we talking about? Is it a book? Have you read their book? I tell you, if you're going to have an author on and you haven't read their book, they're not going to be too happy about it. If you don't know their book, you need to know them. And you need to know their backstory, and you need to know what's going on. And you can quickly get over the fact that you're not going to talk about what's in their book. You're going to talk about why they made their book, how it's going, where they're going with the book next, what's next on their agenda, and really focus in about the person, not necessarily the book or their message, but the person. That's our podcasts are great for that, is connecting with people and getting the people to really take the guard down, take the hat off, and just be themselves and give a more personal insight of what's going on. You know, this is not mainstream news where you have 60 seconds to get the story out, you know, with four questions, and you don't care what they answer. You just need to get those four questions answered over 60 seconds or 90 seconds or however how long you have. You have 26 minutes or an hour to deal with your guests, and you can really sort of get them to sort of reveal, to be open. Not, you know, not embarrassingly open, but get them to open up, get them to relax, get them to reflect. You know, that's what people want. This is a conversation that people want to be a fly on the wall and they want to hear what's going on. They want to learn. They want to be part of that. They want to be going, whoa, didn't see that coming. Or wow, I never thought about it that way. Calls to action, news, announcements, they're all good. But, you know, your podcast doesn't have to become someone else's soapbox. Monologues are difficult to do. Like this recording right now, it's just me talking about how to make a podcast. It's my monologue. And you'll get good at it at some point. Maybe I'm not so bad, but I've done thousands of these, right? Seminars where you get up on stage and you need to know what you're going to talk about. That means scripting it, getting your bullets lined up, getting comfortable with the material, having a few dry runs so that you're not stumbling, so that it doesn't sound like you're just reading it for the first time from a piece of paper. Nothing's worse than listening to a podcast and it's just someone reading pages and pages of notes. Hey, if I wanted to read your blog, I'd just go read your blog. I don't need you to read it to me in a very unprofessional manner when there's so many other people out there that are doing really great audio type narration, you know, of audio books and things like that, or professional actors, voice actors that can do that sort of thing. So bring content, bring structure, and then just be yourself. Your production values have to be really good as well. If you just have scratchy old phones and bad recording equipment, that's going to be difficult to swallow. Things have evolved a lot in the last 5 years with everyone going online. Now you have digital content that you can record over programs like Zoom or and other technologies that give you real digital quality audio. So your computer is now going to become a big part of your podcasting recording platform, the internet. Your editing as well has to be quality editing. You know, you can't have all sorts of missteps and gaps and pauses and sound imperfections and crazy background sounds that are covering things up, or just bad quality mic level settings where it's all scratchy and broken up. So yeah, production values are super important. If you want to have people come back, if you want to keep people on to the end of your show, your production values have to be pretty solid. So that takes a little bit of practice. It's not going to happen overnight, but practice this. Get comfortable with your technology. Figure out what kind of technology you need. Get that technology. Get a good headset. Get a good microphone. Get a good digital recorder. Get some editing software. Get comfortable with that. Have some fun with that. And then start your podcast once you think you can do it. Remember, you don't have to be perfect at this. You'll never get perfect at it. But at some point, you just need to put your tools down and do the job, right? It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be pleasant and easy to listen to without getting a headache because you're straining so hard to hear through the crap. Building your audience. You know who your audience are. Because if you don't know this, if you think my audience is just people who like this, or people who like that, or people who like me, that's not really knowing your audience. What's their age group? What's their background? What's their interest level? What are their passions? If you know that your audience shares the same passion as you do, and you know you can reach them through your podcast, they want to take advantage of the information that you're going to collect through your research and present to them through your podcast. And if you can do it in a pleasant and entertaining way, even better. But if you're entertaining and pleasant side is very lacking and you're very stiff and rigid and monotone, you can get away with that if your content is super good. But if your content is really below quality because you haven't done your research, because you haven't got really good people on board, because the information you're providing is incorrect or it's vague or it's very superficial, you're not going to keep and build that loyal listening audience. Okay, the other thing about building an audience is you need to connect with them somehow. You need to be able to connect with your audience. You need to respond to their emails, to their messages. You need to take their questions. You need to engage them in, what do you think? How's this going? What should I do next? Where do you want us to go? And give them a little bit of a chance to steer the podcast a little bit so that you can respond to their needs, anticipate what those needs are, and building up that audience. Speak for them, speak to them, speak as if you're one of them. The same language, don't speak down to them, same terminology, you know. Understand who they are and respect who they are, and they'll respect you. Co-promotion can help you build an audience too. So if you know other podcasters that are talking about things similar to you, then try to get on their show and have them come on your show. And then you can tell their listeners about your new podcast, and they can tell your listeners about their podcast, because people who listen to podcasts listen to more than just one podcast. People that just get their news from Facebook don't necessarily listen to podcasts. Now, you can get a Facebook group going of your podcast listeners if that's what you want, but people who get their news from Facebook, that's their source. That's where they go. That's how they spend their time mining for content and entertainment and so forth. They're not going to just switch over to podcasting. So don't spend a lot of your time Facebooking and trying to drive up your listenerships by Facebook and Instagram and that sort of social media. It's good to let them know what's coming out on your show and what's going on your show. But there's other better ways to build up listener numbers, and that's by co-promotion with other podcasters. Watch your mission creep, though. I mentioned this already, that if you constantly are watching your numbers and you're always adjusting your format and your content to maximize listener numbers growth, you're going to creep away from where you want to be. Little by little, you're going to move away. Stay true to yourself. Personally, I don't spend a lot of time with the numbers because for me, I'm not about monetizing my podcast. For me, it's more important to know that there's people out there who like my content, who enjoy my content, who find it valuable and come back over and over again. I know that's happening. In terms of numbers, do I care? Hey, if I was out there getting sponsors, I'd have to give those numbers to my sponsors and say, these are the numbers. These are how many people that are listening to me. And they're going to say, well, can you get more? And then I think, well, if I get more, I'm going to get more money. I'm going to get more sponsors. But you know what? I personally have sponsors already through my fishing, and I've had those sponsors for 10, 15 years as a professional angler, and they stick with me. And it's fine. I don't need more sponsors. I don't need to monetize my podcasts in those types of ways with advertisements or pushing out their products or endorsing their products through my podcast. That's not what my podcasts are about. My podcasts are about ideas, knowledge, information, and introspection and reflection and having some fun. You know, it's all good, but it's ad-free content. And that's not bad. I don't mind that. Like, I listen to podcasts that have ads and things like that. And it's okay because the ads are all about the content they're talking about, right? It's all about, you know, the reason I'm listening to the podcast anyway. So it's just maybe a bit about technology that's available or some services that are available, but it's all related to the content of the podcast. It's not just, you know, someone selling socks. Now, when people download your podcast, it's really super important that they give some reaction and response, like likes and comments. Like Apple Podcasts is where this is generated most often. Apple Podcasts has these fields where people can give you 5 stars, 4 stars, 3 stars, a few comments. And the more content and the more feedback you get from your listeners and 5 stars and comments, the higher your podcast is going to rank, not numbers, but when people search and they're looking at podcasts, you will come up as a recommendation. Hey, you might want to check this one out. And that's really how your podcast will become known, because these podcast providers, these streaming services, will pop it into the face and eyes and ears of people who are searching around looking for another podcast to listen to. You know, if you do a Google on a podcast and you say, hey, what kind of podcast are out there about this? You want your podcast to pop up on the first page of the Google results, not 9,900 down the list where no one's ever going to get to and hear about it. So getting up on that list, right, in the search list, in the recommendation list, is super important. And that only happens by people sharing your podcast on the internet, referring to your podcast, sharing the links to your podcast, and even more importantly, like I said, by liking and ranking and commenting on things like Apple Podcast. So how do you get your podcast out there? You know, distribution, getting it online, getting it on the internet, getting it into Apple and Google and Spotify and all of those services, it's not easy. You can't just do that yourself. It doesn't work like that. You need to publish your podcast through a service, and that service will then distribute your podcast automatically to all these other platforms. So you're not going every time and you're not going to Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and uploading your podcast individually, one by one, to all of these streaming services. You're putting it into one, and in my case, it's Spreaker, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R, and Spreaker puts it up on their site, and then they automatically share it out to all these other streaming services. Many, I think there's 25, 30 of them that they share it out to every time I upload, and that's how it gets disseminated. Now, that's not cheap, or it's not free, but it's not a ton of money, so, you know, it's one of those costs, right? It's one of those costs of being a podcaster. There's other ways to do it without a cost. You can do it through a website. You can publish your podcast through your website and just share that with links. You can put it on Facebook. You can put it on YouTube. There's free services as well, but a lot of people who go to Facebook and YouTube, they want to see a visual, so if you're going to do a podcast on YouTube, you better have a camera shining at you as well, and that just ups again your production values and your editing time and your setup time. So there's a lot more involved as soon as you introduce the video. There are other services out there that will broadcast your podcast and distribute it, but they will include commercials at the beginning, at the end, and maybe one in the middle. So you give up your right to keep your podcast commercial free by taking advantage of these free services. It's not the end of the world, and you can negotiate this a little bit with them as well. You can say, look, don't put any commercials in the middle of my podcast, just the beginning and the end, and you'll get that free hosting service in exchange for that. You just have to explore and what your budget will afford, and then you choose and go from there. Switching later on can be challenging, though. Like if you're not happy with your podcast hosting service and you have to take everything down and put it somewhere else, that can be a job. Licensing your podcast to streaming services like radio, other websites, that's a possibility too. People might pay for your podcast just to be an exclusive delivery agent, or for you to sort of produce it and give them credit as the executive producer, as the people paying for this. So there's ways of doing that as well in terms of licensing that can be very helpful. Donors is another way to get money through a service called Patreon. They can sign up there and say, I want to give this person a dollar a podcast or 10 cents a podcast. Now, if you get a whole bunch of people who will sign up on Patreon to pay you for every episode a little bit of money, that could start to add up. And there's people doing really good podcasts out there that have been doing it for a long time. And that's where all their money comes from, Patreon. That's another great service. So licensing, Patreon, donations, sponsorships, ads, they're all possibilities to help generate some revenue. So are you going to go the distance with your podcast? Are you going to make this a year commitment, a 2-year commitment, a 5-year commitment? Most podcasters last 7 episodes on average. Some get up to 150 episodes and drift away. There's not a ton that have reached, you know, 300, 400, 500 episodes. And those ones are quite often corporate backed, you know? So there's exceptions in all of this for sure. And don't be afraid if you don't get past this. You know, there's lots of podcasts that just come out as series, like you see on downloadable programs where just, you know, 5 episodes and then a year goes by and season 2 and they come up with another 5 episodes. That's nothing wrong with that. It gives you the chance to plan, it gives you the chance to prepare, and it doesn't take up your whole year after year after year. Every 2 weeks you're doing another podcast, or every week you're doing another podcast. You can really focus in on doing 5 or 6 good podcasts, getting them out there, and then waiting a year and then doing it again. People don't care. People are used to that kind of thing now. I'm just saying, don't burn out. If you find yourself burning out, then step back a bit and say, hey, what am I doing here? Am I having fun at this anymore? Is this still something I'm getting enjoyment out of, personal satisfaction? Or is my quality going down because people can tell I'm just not happy doing this? So always reflect back. You don't want to find out that you're burnt out way after you've actually burnt out and you're done. You just can't go back. It's just too hard at that point. You just can't recover. You want to anticipate this. You want to smell that coming. You want to notice that coming. You want to pay attention to what people are telling you. You're bringing your whole body, your mind, your emotions, your mental capacity, your physical capacity. It's all involved with podcasting. Even if you're sitting at a chair, you still have to be in good shape. You got to be healthy enough to do all this and to put your best foot forward. So take care of yourself. Make sure you don't burn out. And take the time off when you need it. Well, hey, I hope you got something out of this. Again, I'm Lawrence Gunther. I do the Bluefish Radio Show podcast, all about the future of fish, water, and fishing. And I do Outdoors with Lawrence Gunther, which is a podcast I'm just targeting specifically at youth who live with a low or no vision and getting them interested in doing things in the outdoors. You know what? People say, well, how many of those out there? How many people like that are out there who are going to want to listen to this? You know, I don't care. If I can get 5 or 10 youth to get interested in maybe putting their tech down and getting outside and enjoying nature, then I've done a good job. And I'm sharing my knowledge, and it's out there. Not just a one and done deal like radio or television. You know, with a podcast, they hang around, right? They're online forever. So it becomes like a little bit of a book. It's an audio book you're publishing as a podcaster. People can go back and read your episodes and early episodes, and they will. Once they find you and they like your podcast, they'll go back and listen to previous episodes. If you know anyone that wants to listen to my podcast, please let them know. And if I can be of any assistance to you in terms of answering some questions, let me know. You can always reach me at lawrence@lawrencegunther.com.